the Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. In the next hour, Dr. Pat showcases some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Get ready to live life full out. Here's your host, Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By, and we've got a great show for you. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and turning us on each and every week. I want to make sure that you know we're in the final stages of selecting our fabulous holistic makeover folks that we will follow over a three-month period, follow their journey to transform from the inside out, and also watch how they help another transform. Today's show is about transformation. Transformation in a different way, perhaps, but maybe not. I'm thrilled that Dr. Richard Creighton is joining me here today. We're here to talk about the placebo response and the power of unconscious healing. And each and every week, we bring you the latest, the leading edge, so to speak, of what's happening in terms of health, wealth, well-being, spirituality, careers, relationships, and we're thrilled that we're doing that. You know, as your host, I get to have these incredible conversations so that you have the choices and information that you need to make informed, intelligent choices. So, you know, today's show is about that, providing you with information that you would not otherwise have. So we're here today to talk to Dr. Creighton about his journey, his life, what he's done. He's a physician, a researcher, professor, national speaker, and author of The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. Dr. Creighton practices medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital and is an associate professor at Harvard Medical School. He's trained in internal medicine, pathology, immunology, and psychoanalysis. He has researched and lectured on such topics such as pulmonary pathology, thoracic oncology, advanced heart and lung disease, mind-body medicine, chronic fatigue, you name it. He is here today to talk with us about the power of unconscious healing. And by the way, he has contributed more than 150 articles and texts on a broad range of medical topics. I'm just scratching the surface here, talking about his work, what he does, and what he believes in. Dr. Creighton, thank you for joining us here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, one would look at, you know, your resume, so to speak, your, you know, your representation of your life's journey, and they would say, how does somebody like this, step aside and write a book that's called The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing? And so the question is, there's a power and purpose to what you've stepped out and done, and I want to ask you, you know, have there been challenges in doing this, in saying the things that you're saying and talking about the placebo response and the power of unconscious healing?
Well, suffice it to say the idea of placebos is not probably one of the more popular ideas amongst modern medical scientists. Nor is the idea of unconscious processes one of the more popular concepts amongst physicians. So there clearly has been some resistance to these concepts, and it's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I think some of these ideas are fundamentally important to the practice of medicine that both physicians and the public probably needs to be better aware of how medicine actually works. And my hope is that the book will help promote some of the understanding that's required.
Well, you know, and it starts with a conversation, doesn't it? I mean, clearly, you know, you sitting down and bringing some of the issues to the, you know, to the public are a great starting point. I think I was reading that approximately one in four patients receive a placebo. As a matter of fact, this was covered on the new national news here a couple days ago. And, you know, let's start with a conversation about what is a placebo and how you've seen it used
Sure.
in your medical career.
Well, I think there are three terms that are often used, and they're often used interchangeably, and it's important that people understand that there are distinctions amongst them. A placebo is either a drug or some substance, sometimes even an operation, at other times possibly even sitting down and having a conversation. It's something that is by itself not understood to have any intrinsic activity with respect to treatment. So the classic idea of a placebo, the classic example, I should say, is a sugar pill.
Right.
On the other hand, the placebo response is an innate healing response that the body has developed over the course of evolution. That is evoked in response to the idea of someone offering to treat you. And that offer to treat may be with a placebo, or it may be with a drug that we would consensually agree is likely to be active. So the important point here is that virtually any treatment that's offered has intrinsic to it some element of placebo effect. So if I give you an antibiotic, the antibiotic is known to be active against some type of bacterial species. But in addition to that, when I treat an individual, there's always going to be some element of what might be termed placebo effect.
And you know, when we look at this, you know, we look at how this is used, there are people that are outraged by the whole notion of placebo, but that's not what your book is about. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. You know, isn't this a conversation about our relationship to illness as well as the power that we either believe we have or don't have to heal?
I think it's a conversation about the actual nature of illness and the misconceptions that people, including physicians, have on what constitutes illness and what constitutes effective treatment. So, yes, it's when people are outraged by the use of placebos, I think they at times fail to understand what the purpose of using a placebo is and why, indeed, it might be effective. Now, what never gets really looked at, and this is one of the reasons I wrote the book, if you have treatment trials for drugs going on all the time, and in all of these trials there are placebo response rates of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% at times, where is the curiosity on the part of the medical scientists as to why so many patients seem to respond to placebos?
I mean, that question in itself, really talks to the level of consciousness, talks to the level of mind around this. And, you know, so let's talk for a minute about the book, and let's talk about, I want to start out with the title of the book, The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. Is there, or what is the relationship between placebo response and unconscious healing?
Well, as I've mentioned, placebo responses appear to be part of our evolutionary makeup. It's part of the way the body heals almost with respect to its immunology, if you will. It's part of the effective healing response that takes place that can occur under a variety of circumstances. And the circumstances under which it occurs are essentially what might be termed unconscious. So if you cut yourself, for instance, at night and go to bed, in the morning you'll notice that the cut is largely healed. Well, that healing took place within the body, and it occurred without any effort on your part and without any element of consciousness. So much of what takes place in the body is by its very definition outside the realm of consciousness. And the placebo response is also one of these responses that appears to take place largely outside of the awareness of the individual, which makes it somewhat difficult to control and difficult to predict, but nonetheless still an important factor.
you know, I love that we're having this conversation. I mean, you know, there are many things that we can point to and look at in terms of placebo effect and healing. You know, and are we ready for this conversation? Is our society ready for this right now?
Well, I think the problem with the whole field is that the topic has gone largely unaddressed since the beginnings of scientific medicine. Are we ready? That remains to be seen, but I see no reason why we shouldn't be ready, because this is a critically important aspect of how the body works and how medical therapeutics actually takes place. And if we don't understand it, I think we're really shortchanging all of our species with respect to what we need to understand.
You know, this is, for many people, this is a conversation that I think many of us have been really longing to have, especially understanding how healing works, what's possible, what's not possible, you know, what's true for one is not true for another. I mean, clearly we hear stories about how some people miraculously heal from major tumors in their brains, and they do it, you know, so far out of what the traditional medical model may suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when we look at this, what do we look at in terms of what we know about medicine, what we know about doctors, and what we know about the caregivers themselves?
Well, I think the problem is that the response to this whole issue tends to be polarized, so that you often get people who will largely dismiss the idea of placebo responses, and then you get another poll where people, I think, overestimate what these responses can do in any predictable or consistent way. And the answer, as it is for many things, is somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about this and much more on the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Dr. Richard Creighton joining us here today, the author of The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. And, you know, so we're going to be talking about many, many things throughout the show today. You know, for example, when we come back, are we or do we have the ability to heal ourselves in the way that we understand it to be? What I mean by that is, do we have to step away from the traditional conventional model of medicine to truly heal ourselves? What is the connection between the Western world religions and the placebo response? We've got so much to talk about with Dr. Creighton. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, the question to ask yourself, why is it some people respond to placebos and others do not? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and my very special guest today, Dr. Richard Creighton.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat for the Ageless Secret Water Energizing Skin Spray. It immediately improved my skin elasticity by 50%. I proved its energetic claims by doing a test with a glass of water, and it amazingly changed the water through the glass. This is the most incredible skin care product I have ever seen. You've got to see this for yourself. Call 888-424-4247 or visit agelesssecret.com. That's agelesssecret.com.
Be the first to join your favorite Hay House authors on the next I Can Do It at Sea. Come aboard a luxurious cruise ship and meet Greg Braden, Brian Weiss, Sonia Choquette, and many more. The 7-night cruise to Alaska on July 11th through 18th, 2009 includes soul-nourishing workshops, spiritual cinema movies in your cabin, autograph sessions, and amazing ports of call. This is a vacation you'll never forget. Cabins are limited. Reserve today. HayHouse.com.
Are you going through a divorce? A 24/7 resource center called FreshStartAfterDivorce.com has been created to support you during and after divorce. It's packed with resources, articles, and tips from experts nationwide. As a business personal coach who specializes in divorce and founder of the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children, Joni Winberg's mission is to provide the support and encouragement you need to move your life forward. You don't have to face this challenging time alone. Go to FreshStartAfterDivorce.com.
Hey, are you one of those people who need a boost of motivation to lose those extra pounds and inches? Well, here it is. Take the Sugar-Free Miracle Weight Loss Challenge and earn $100 for every 10 pounds you lose. I'm Karen Bentley, creator of the amazing Sugar-Free Miracle Diet, which you'll love. It's easy, sustainable, and it stops out-of-control eating. To participate, send me an email at expert@sugarfreemiracle.com. That's expert@sugarfreemiracle.com, and I'll send you the details.
You may not have heard, so listen carefully. Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered, including asthma, pneumonia, flu, diabetes, AIDS, hepatitis C, the common cold, and dozens of others. The details of this amazing secret have been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book so that it will never be lost. Written in simple language, the miracle mineral supplement of the 21st century is easy to understand. In Africa and the Americas, over 100,000 cases of malaria and other diseases have been successfully treated with miracle mineral supplement. Many successful clinical trials have been run using the same formula. You can download the first half of the Miracle Mineral book for free by going to miraclemineral.org. That's miraclemineral.org. Take back your health today. Go to miraclemineral.org.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And thank you for joining us here today. Very special guest, Dr. Richard Creighton, joining us. He's written the book, The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. And approximately one in four patients receiving a placebo or harmless sugar pill will report side effects from pains and fatigue to nausea. This is called the nocebo effect. This odd phenomenon has resulted in patients being pulled from clinical trials and more than 76, close to $77 billion in bogus hospital costs. And so today, my special guest, Richard Creighton, Dr. Richard Creighton, we're talking about our fears, our doubts, you know, how this does damage to our health. Dr. Creighton is the country's leading researcher on the placebo effect and says its evil twin, the nocebo effect, is just as fascinating. Thank you for joining us here today, Dr. Creighton. And let's talk about this. Placebo, nocebo, let's explain to our listeners what this is and, you know, why we have these in contrast and yet we're still fascinated by both.
Well, it's a difficult question to answer, but I'll try to make a stab at it.
Okay.
Most of us, when we walk around during the day and we are in good health, have a background feeling of what I'll term well-being. And what I mean by that is we're not consciously aware of any degree of discomfort. We generally feel well. And it goes usually uncommented upon. There are people, unfortunately, due to a variety of underlying reasons, some of them having to do with childhood experience, some of them probably having to do with genetics, who don't share that luxury. And their background feeling is often one of discomfort. So there are people, and we all know people like this, who have just a myriad of physical and mental complaints. And that background tone often sets the thermostat, if you will, for what occurs when one is in a treatment situation. So there are individuals who, as you noted, when they receive a placebo, or if they receive any type of medication, again, also always you have to remember that any treatment includes this placebo or nocebo effect in it. There are many people who, when they receive these treatments, will report adverse side effects, and they'll do it with some degree of regularity. And as a result, as you mentioned, it puts a certain amount of strain both on clinical experimentation as well as on the health system itself. But you can pretty much tell, as a physician, when you sit with someone in an office, who's likely to have these types of responses. And they're often people who seem wary of what's being offered them. They'll often go in great detail into wanting to know about the medication and its side effects. And almost invariably, it's not just an exercise in getting more information. It seems to be a way of confirming their doubts and skepticism. And so they'll go home with the medication and often call the next day or return on the next visit to tell you that they couldn't tolerate the medication that was prescribed.
Mm. So what's the connection between, the placebo or nocebo effect and the self-fulfilling prophecy, so to speak?
And what processes?
And the self-fulfilling prophecy, where you believe something about yourself or you hear something about yourself, and whether or not it truly exists, there it is. It's this idea, if I think I'm a failure, I will be a failure, and then I could say, I told you so. If I think I'm sick, or if I think this is having an effect on me, and therefore, all of a sudden I believe it does, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, well, I told you so.
Well, it has a tremendous effect, and there have been a number of studies done that have demonstrated that one can take a drug that one knows basically based on scientific experimentation has a certain effect, and by planting a certain suggestion in a patient's mind that it is going to have just the opposite effect, you'll see that patient reporting that. So expectation is a major factor in terms of placebos, and these expectations can be conscious, or we have expectations that are not conscious. That actually take place outside the realm of awareness. And I think that's one of the things that makes it difficult to necessarily predict what's going to happen with any given patient.
Dr. Creighton, how does this develop in us? Do we go back and trace our childhood experiences to really look at what our relationship to illness is and whether or not we could heal or not heal? I mean, you and I just shared stories about our folks, right?
Yes.
I mean, I grew up with a dad that said that basically is, you don't have to get sick. I've never been sick. I don't understand why people are sick. And you hear that, and, pretty much for most of my life, I've not been sick. I don't know.
Right.
What are the relationships there?
Well, it's a very good question, and I tried to address this in part in the book, but it's a bit complicated, and I'm not sure I can go into very great detail here on the show. My father, for instance, who I mentioned to you off the air, he was hardly ever ill. Hardly ever reported having any ill effects. He didn't know what a headache was, which I found to be very unusual. but there are individuals like that, and it may not be necessarily that they're not experiencing the same types of discomforts that we all do, but they're not aware of it for whatever the reason. How that occurs as a result of one's upbringing, I think, again, that's complicated, but there clearly are elements that have to do both with the way we've been raised as well as probably with the underlying genetics of who we are, which determine, our relationship to our body and our relationship to treatment situations.
And in the web that we weave around this, why do you believe, Dr. Creighton, why do you believe that health is on the minds of so many people? I mean, there are books that are coming out, and whether it's, what some people call conventional medicine or alternative integrative medicine, there just are more books on this and anti-aging than we've ever seen before. What are we in search of?
Well, I think we're in search of the same thing that people have always been in search of, going all the way back to the Gilgamesh epic in ancient Assyria. We're in search of prolonged good health and immortality. And that's just the nature of our species. I think what's occurred as a result of some of the scientific advances that we've made over the last 50 to 100 years is that people get a sense that perhaps, you know, immortality or constant good health is somewhere around the corner if we could just identify the cause. I tend to doubt that's possible, but it's I wouldn't necessarily completely exclude it. But I think that's what it's about. I think we're in a society
that... it's definitely in what you've written in the book. I mean, clearly you have a purpose to writing this book. You know, what is your vision? What is the message that you hope to get across to the people that are reading it?
My vision, I think, is, again, one of moderation.
Mm.
I think it's one of increased humility on the part of physicians and medical scientists, and increased acceptance on the part of the public that perhaps not all things are possible.
Well, and you know, that has to be sort of a challenge for you to present that idea when we have so many venues showing up, integrated, alternative medicine, functional, every day. I think we have a new title for what's going on. And, you know, so the question is, what's the relationship, if any, to the placebo or nocebo effect and some of these alternative medicines?
Well, I think most of the evidence, although it's not all in, but I think most of the evidence that is in suggests that for most of the alternative complementary forms of medicine, it's not that they are ineffective, they are effective, but they tend to work predominantly, if not exclusively, via the placebo response.
And so there would be alternative doctors that were naturopaths and other people that would say, how can we demonstrate that? And I think isn't that the challenge of what you're writing? I mean, you know,
well,
if this is true, why are so many people, you know, out to say placebo effect has no place here?
Well, I think the answer is in part that allopathic or modern therapeutic medicine,
mm-hmm.
that's the term that's used, has made great advances in certain areas. I've seen great advances in the field of infectious diseases. I've seen modest advances in the field of oncology, some of the anti-pain medications, sleep medications. All of these things have been, you know, quite helpful. And part of the reason I think people are living longer now has to do in part with changes of diet, but it also has in part to do with some of the advances that have occurred, particularly in the realm of infectious diseases. People don't die of pneumonia anymore with any regularity from wounds. The antibiotics are very good at that. On the other hand, I think allopathic medicine or modern medicine has not been very good in treating a whole variety of chronic disorders. So people who have arthritis, people who have diabetes, neurological conditions, these types of disorders generally have not yielded very well to the treatments that modern medicine has developed. And as a result, I think people have sought out alternative forms of medicine. And what they found, and I think quite understandably, I think they found some solace, largely not as a result of the particular technique, but of the fact that the individual who offers the technique often spends a great deal of more time with the patient, shows perhaps more concern, isn't as rushed, isn't as hurried. And these types of behaviors on the part of the treater promote placebo responses. And so the very busy doctor who may be somewhat brusque or distracted probably is not doing the best that he can in terms of evoking placebo responses, whereas someone who, you know, perhaps takes you into the acupuncture suite and spends a long period of time talking to you, sets the mood, can do those things.
Well, this is a great conversation. Thank you, Dr. Richard Creighton. We're going to take a short break. The placebo response and the power of unconscious healing. When we come back, placebo, nocebo, are there ethical considerations? Well, Dr. Richard Creighton joining us here today, he's going to take that question on. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Join Dr. Friedemann Schaub, Danielle Rama Hoffman, and world-renowned harpist Peter Sterling for a sacred sound journey to Egypt, February 2009. Picture yourself meditating to magical harp music inside the Great Pyramid, luxuriating on a Nile cruise, and exploring sacred temples in private visits for travel that expands your consciousness and opens your heart. Call 866-903-6463 or visit EgyptIsCalling.com.
Do you wish you knew the future? Turn on your higher self with Maureen St. Germain. Get an Akashic Records reading with Maureen, who connects with your guides and teachers. Clients say Maureen is amazing, accurate, comprehensive, and a well-respected channel. Thousands have trusted her to help them. Shouldn't you be one of them? Get some clarity about long-standing questions and decisions that you need to make. An expert in business and personal affairs, your reading will lift you to a higher vibration and provide you with pertinent answers to your questions. For the month of October, as an exclusive Dr. Pat listener special, your reading is $35 off the regular price. Call today, 212-304-2123. Remember to say Dr. Pat sent you. Call 212-304-2123. You can find Maureen at angleangel.com. That's right, angleangel.com.
People want three things when they build and plan for retirement. The most amount of money for the longest amount of time with the least amount of risk. Now, I'm sure you currently have a 401k or an IRA of some kind. However, there are five things that can wipe out your current retirement plan, like disability, market loss, taxes, litigation, and premature debt. Call today to find out how our retirement plan is protected from these five financial storms. And remember, retirement planning should come with a peace of mind, not uncertainty. So call 888-252-3083 or visit debt-free. MCA.com.
Shree is the new high-quality liquid nutritional drink that was scientifically formulated with the sacred superfruit called amalaki and six other herbs rich in antioxidants and vitamin C. An ancient Sanskrit word, Shree, spelled Z-R-I-I, means light, luster, prosperity, and heavenly vitality, and is endorsed by the Chopra Center for Well-Being. After months of intense development and testing, a world-class team of physicians and nutrition scholars developed what they believe to be a product unlike any other the world has seen. Nutritionist Renee Marie wants to introduce Shree's powerful nutritional drink and prosperity plan to you today. For more information, call 877-411-6560, extension 2199. Visit reneemarie.myshree.com. That's reneemarie.myzrii.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Let me just tell you, the book is called The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. It is written by Dr. Richard Creighton. As I said before, Dr. Creighton has looked at the placebo effect and has become more or less a spokesperson about this. You know, he has taken a monumental step in starting the dialogue about what is and what still needs to be studied around the placebo response. And so he's joining us here today. We're talking about many, many different things. And, you know, Dr. Creighton, thank you. First of all, thank you for joining us here today. Let's let everybody know where they can find a copy of the book first off here.
The book's available from the major booksellers online, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It may be available in many of the bookstores locally. It depends. I've been in some where it's there and some where it's not, so you have to check. But you can certainly get it online. It's published by Routledge, and it just came out this year.
Well, and thank you for joining us here today. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is this idea, you know, the ethical controversy that's going around right now about placebo, placebo effect, placebo response. Are there ethical issues here?
Yes, there are ethical issues with respect to the use of placebos, but again, it depends on what the gold standard is in terms of treatment. And what I mean by that is if a physician knowingly prescribes a placebo in a situation, there is always a certain, and doesn't disclose that to the patient, and in disclosing it, you would largely undo whatever positive effects you might expect from the placebo, and that's why there's always an element of deception when one prescribes these things. If one were to do that and the patient were to discover that, you know, there would be a question of, you know, the dishonesty that's being manifest on the part of the physician. On the other hand, I think most physicians prescribe placebos not to mislead patients. They don't prescribe them in order to be unethical. They prescribe them because they believe that at some level they're likely to be effective. And so for physicians, one of the highest callings is to, you know, heal and to treat patients. And, you know, I think it's important to keep this in perspective as well. People have always gotten sick, and people have always been healed. And this is prior to the modern era of scientific medicine. Virtually all of the treatments that were offered in ancient times were placebos. We know that at this point just from studying the ancient pharmaceutical lists. At that time, it's likely doctors thought that most of those treatments were effective, but they may have also knowingly been prescribing some of these things as placebos. The fact is people got well, and physicians have always known this. That part of the therapeutic response is based on this placebo effect. And so the question I think that's raised is it truly unethical for a physician to prescribe something that they know doesn't work, or are they trying at some level to benefit the patient, and should that piece of the therapeutic armamentarium be taken away from them? I'll give you another example, if you don't mind my going.
No, please do, because I think these are very big questions. You know, I think you said earlier, I mean, we're certainly asking questions that seem like they're simple, but the answers are really pretty complex.
Mm-hmm. You know, medicine, again, is really a young science. It's not as old as physics or chemistry. It's really been in place probably in a serious way for about 150 years. And it's understandable that medical scientists have always wanted to appear and put their field on a scientific basis. The problem is that we're just scratching the surface in many ways as to how medicine in the body works. And so there's a lot of knowledge that's embedded, as I mentioned it before, in evolution that's natural to the body that physicians still don't have access to. If you are prescribing a placebo, then, again, you're trying to evoke the power of the unconscious healing of the body's system. And one of the things that can interfere with that is having information that's available that may be negative with respect to the expectations of patients. So if you're sitting with a patient and you are explaining to them the potential side effects of a drug or the side effects of a procedure, and at this point we're pretty much mandated to do that because of the ethical medical legal consequences, that type of information can be very injurious at times with certain patients. Now, it's not that patients don't have a right to know. They certainly do. But if you're sitting with an elderly patient who may not be particularly medically sophisticated and you're going through a long list of possible side effects, I've certainly had the experience of watching their face drop as you're describing these things and looking increasingly fearful. Now, that's just not likely to be in their best interests. And so the question is, where does revealing the truth become deleterious in terms of therapeutic outcome?
Well, yeah, that is a major question. I mean, that I can't even imagine how that conversation even begins. I mean, you know, how does one even begin that conversation? And how do we do it in a way where, you know, it continues to do no harm? You know, Dr. Creighton, you know, part of this conversation, and I guess we can certainly look at the, you know, the buzz pop culture media around this, doesn't really address the conversation that you and I are having today. And, you know, there's this idea of natural tendency for symptoms and, you know, how do we tease that apart, especially in terms of chronic disorder? It really is, I mean, you almost have to be a doctor and a psychologist at some level. What do you find is the most difficult assessments or that you make throughout the day?
Well, I think one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I do have both trainings, and probably with one or the other, it wouldn't have dawned on me to do this. I think, again, it's very difficult at times to understand that the person who's in front of you as a patient both is manifesting symptoms and may have some underlying disease, but has a very complex psychological background as well. And you know, it's important that in the short amount of time allotted to us in our treatment situation that we make some effort to understand who the person is in front of us, because it's going to make a great deal of difference in terms of how we approach them and in terms of how they ultimately are going to respond to the treatments that we offer. And you know, we can't spend hours or even 50 minutes at a time inquiring into patients' underlying background. But I think there are certain things that doctors should do with some degree of regularity that many fail to do. And one of them is just knowing what the background history has been of patients in response to treatment and medications, to begin to inquire as to what concerns they may have in terms of the treatments that are being offered, because that can often give a pretty good clue as to where the treatment is going to go. But if you just look at somebody and you look at their disease as some objective component that's separate from who they are, and you offer a treatment for that disease, then you're missing the possibility of evoking a very substantial element of placebo effect.
Well, and, you know, I have to tell you, this is a lot of information, and it's a conversation that many people aren't willing to have. You all are listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive by Dr. Richard Creighton joining me here today. The book, as I said before, is The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. When we come back, the $64 million question: how might pharmaceutical companies profit from research into the placebo response? Not that they need to. I can't wait to hear what Dr. Creighton has to say about that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
MBSConnect.com. Mind, Body, Soul Connect is an innovative and interactive wellness resource company. The mission of MBS Connect is to help America be well by providing easy access to progressive programs, products, and providers. MBS Connect is building networks of wellness providers nationwide using all types of modalities who want to be part of the wellness revolution. To find a provider in your area, call 888-398-9287 or visit mbsconnect.com.
Hi, I'm Paul McCormick, and you've probably heard me talk on the Dr. Pat Show about how to be wealthy and to be happy all at the same time. Well, guess what? I just wrote a new book called Secrets of the Millionaire Inside, and I want you to have this book so much that here's what I'm doing. During the months of September and October, I'm offering a special promotion on my website where if you go to the stores and buy the book, then I'll give you absolutely free 6 CDs full of information. Check out my website, formulaformillionaires.com.
Are you the owner or manager of a struggling small business? Do you feel alone in your battles? The Small Biz Sherpa can help. Do you want to increase sales or decrease costs? Do you wish your employees were more motivated or cared as much as you do about the bottom line? Call the Small Biz Sherpa. Learn how you can change your company's fortunes by involving and engaging your staff. Create bonus and incentive programs that pay your people more while improving your bottom line. The Small Biz Sherpa has done it himself, and now he'll show you how to do it too. Visit smallbizsherpa.com or call 206-505-9752. That's smallbizsherpa.com. smallbizsherpa.com.
Be sure and sign up for the Dr. Pat Show newsletter so you can find out about the latest guests, events, promotions, and giveaways. Visit thedrpatshow.com and register now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson Pain Relief and Healing Cream. Topperson relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief without side effects, just ask for Topperson. Topperson is now available at Fred Meyer, Natural Food, and other fine stores. Go to Topperson.com for a store near you or call 1-800-959-1007. Topperson.com or 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. The placebo response. Yeah, you've heard the term. We're trying to explain it to you, and definitely for me, getting the perspective from Dr. Richard Creighton and the book that he's written, The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing, is, you know, for me, it really opens up many, many doors. We've talked about the ethical controversies. We've talked about, you know, the healing aspect of this. You know, we've talked about modern medicine, but, you know, there are two things that I want to make sure we cover. I mean, one of the things we talk about, or at least you talk about, is the claim that modern medicine parallels shamanic healing at some levels.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something missing, and I would love for you to share that, because that, you don't really hear that coming from, a doctor, in terms of shamanic, allopathic medicine. So could you explain that to us for a minute?
Well, yes. You know, the idea of healing is not new. Modern doctors didn't invent it. There have always been physicians, you know, whether they were called shamans or had other names. The idea was when people were ill, they sought out help from other people who they felt had some ability to heal them. And that dynamic is, if you think about it, there's something that's archetypally specific to the human condition to have that type of interaction. And so the way we have evolved is that the actual dynamic itself produces a certain healing effect. So if one feels ill, one goes to someone else, one expects that person to help them, that person, you know, makes an effort to do so, and the response is the placebo response. Now, whether it was produced by shamans 1,000 years ago, or whether it's produced by a modern physician in a white coat, it's the same behavioral response. The only thing that we've added to it now has been that we have some medications that we know scientifically also have efficacy. But the other piece also has efficacy, and it's always been there. So we share that piece of healing with our ancient forebears.
And that is, for me, being reminded that, you know, we just didn't pop up one day and a couple of decades ago discover healing. I mean, I think that's important for us to remember that.
I think it's most important for my colleagues to remember that, that physicians didn't invent medicine. Medicine has been there, and it's been effective for many, many things, and it shouldn't be discounted as just superstition or magical or religious fantasies. This type of interaction due to the placebo response has had many benefits.
How do you think, or, you know, right these days, some of the most popular television shows are medical shows.
Yes.
They really are. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Creighton, I mean, do these shows have a positive impact on the profession, or do they take us down another path?
Oh, that's a tough one for me to answer because I tend not to watch the shows. I have a wife who's a lawyer, and she doesn't watch the legal shows either.
Oh, I don't know how she can not do that, boy. Every time you turn a channel, there's one of them on.
Yes. Well, you know, I think we're living in an age of information, and whether we're getting it from the Internet or we're getting it from television, we're getting a certain amount of information with respect to the healing process, and people are fascinated with it. It's part of the reason you have your program. It's part of the reason I'm in business. You know, people are always getting ill, and people are always fascinated with their health. It's part, again, of the human condition. That's what we're talking about here. But whether or not the depictions on television are accurate, for the most part, they are not. But they do have elements of accuracy. But I think they do let people get a certain sense of what goes on to some extent inside a hospital setting.
Well, you know, we hear a lot, we see a lot, and we certainly get a sense of it. And before the break, I asked the question about the pharmaceutical companies. And I think we've heard the term pharmaceutical companies a lot, especially during this election year. Yeah. We've heard pharmaceuticals, almost more than we've heard oil companies, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But where do they come in? I mean, is there a role for them in looking at placebo effect or not?
Oh, by all means. I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are an integral part of modern medicine, and they're a two-edged sword. On one hand, I don't think we would be able to get most of the effective medications that we have available to most people without the pharmaceutical industry, but the pharmaceutical industry, understandably, is also a business. And their bottom line is, in many respects, the bottom line. And in order to understand the role of the pharmaceutical industry in this whole issue of placebo, you have to understand how drugs get approved. And very, very briefly, in order for a new drug to receive approval through the Federal Drug Administration, it has to be tested in what we call a randomized controlled trial. And essentially what that means is that one group of individuals will receive the drug that's being tested, and another group of individuals will receive what's termed a placebo. And in order for the drug to be approved, the drug needs to show that it's statistically more efficacious, more potent than the placebo. Well, what turns out to be the case when you look at a variety of drugs, and this is particularly true for psychoactive medications for anxiety and depression, is that many of these drugs are either no more effective than placebos or just somewhat more effective. You know, not a great deal of distinction. So the placebo effect, the placebo response, is at some level a nuisance for the pharmaceutical industry, you know, because placebo responses mean they're going to have more difficulty getting their drug out to the market and profitable.
So can we expect some backlash here, or what can we expect?
Well, I think at some level the placebo research into placebo responses has been largely impeded by a variety of things, and one of the factors, I think, has been the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, you cannot go to a pharmaceutical industry and ask for research support to study the placebo response unless your research is largely aimed at how to eliminate it. Because they're not interested in promoting placebo responses. They're interested in showing that their drugs are more effective than placebo responses. So anything that would enhance placebo responses diminishes their chance of getting their drug approved.
Isn't this a catch-22? Because don't you need the research to actually, you know, demonstrate the effects of placebo response? And if you can't get the funding for the research, then you can't do the research?
I would say, and I think I'd be correct on this, there are very few studies that have been funded by the National Institute of Health that address this whole issue of placebo responses.
Wow. What a great show. Thank you so much, Dr. Richard Creighton, joining us here today on the Dr. Pat Show. Thank you so much for joining us here. Folks, I want to tell you what the book is. Again, The Placebo Response and the Power of Unconscious Healing. And I will say that we have just barely scratched the surface on this. Thank you all for tuning in and turning us on each and every week. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm your host, Dr. Pat Basile. Go to my website, www.thedrpatshow.com. If you've missed any part of this show, we'll see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to The Dr. Pat Show, Radio to Thrive By. To contact Dr. Pat, visit thedrpatshow.com. Tune in next Thursday for another dynamic hour of The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.